You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, stars with a Z. Everything is with a Z on my sites, right? Except for Mystic Living today. But anyways, I want to welcome you tonight again. I've already been talking with my guest. You're going to love her because I do. We love each other already, and we've already been laughing. So, I mean, it's going to be a wonderful show. But nonetheless, I want to remind everybody out there, and I do this before we begin, to be safe. Follow the rules of your county, your city, your state, whatever. This is not easy for anyone. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for my guest. It's not easy for anybody. You're not in this alone. And, you know, I haven't been out of the house. Everybody knows, well, I was sick. I didn't have COVID, but I was very sick. I got some other kind of virus. But because I work at home, it's really easy for me. But some of you that are used to going out and working and, you know, going, getting dressed all nice and going to work and seeing all your coworkers and all of that, you miss it. I know. You really miss it. The only thing that I can suggest to you is call them, get on Skype together. You know, you can do paid Skype if you don't, you know, if you don't have access to somebody. I talk to people all over the world. They call in from Skype, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm promoting paid Skype, and they should be paying me, I know, but that's okay. I love leading you and telling you where to go and what to use, but just be safe. That's what I want for everybody, and I know my guest is going to feel the same way. She's just like I am. And I think it's going to be a really good, uplifting show. And the word that just came to me was angelic. So it means it's going to be very spiritual. You're going to hear it when we talk. I'm going to tell you that right now because I felt it as soon as we chatted, started beginning to chat. Anyways, I'm going to bring my guest on right now. Her name is Dr. Dravon James. She started a platform called Everyday Peace. She's an author. She's an actress. She's a pharmacist. She's a mother. She's a wife. And I said to her, how do you have time for anything? I don't know. Welcome, Dravon. How are you?
I am wonderful, Natalie. Thank you for having me. I'm excited for our time together.
Oh, I know. And I want to start the show off. I'm going to be on Dravon's show on August 24th, and Candy will be putting out the details for that, and it's going to be on a Monday, and Eastern time it's going to be 5 to 6, and it's going to be her time 2 to 3, I believe, but we'll give you advance notice about it. So let's get started. Let's talk about, Dravon, how you got started. Were you very spiritual when you were young? I mean, you're also involved in the Unity Church, and I should explain what that is to people. A lot of people don't understand. It's a different kind of church. I mean, it's not like a cathedral. It doesn't have the gold pillars. It doesn't reek of gold. It's nothing like that. You're just kind of sitting in a room. Sometimes there's singing. There's people that speak. But it's quiet. I probably went to it twice. A friend of mine asked me to go, and I'd never been to it before. And I thought, what is this, you know? But you, Dravon, are involved in that. And, you know, like you said, like I said, you have your own radio show. Let's start at the very beginning with you. The dreams that you had as a little girl, and I want to add to your from Chicago, and I'm from Detroit, and we were laughing because we knew we were going to hit it off. She came south side of Chicago on the better, you know, on the song about Leroy Brown and all of that, and we were laughing so hard. So anyways, tell me how you began. I mean, what?
Yes. very interesting story because you ask about, you know, did I have these dreams? And this is something that I think people always find interesting. When I was a child, I had a pretty, what people would consider a pretty rough upbringing. I'm the oldest of three children to a very loving mom, but we were, we just had a really hard time financially and getting on our feet. And we were homeless for, we went through that a few times. But my mom somehow miraculously managed to do something that I think is pretty amazing. We went to two churches, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. On Saturday, we went to a New Thought church. And on Sunday, we went to a Pentecostal church. And my mom would always say, okay, when we get to the New Thought church on Saturday, do not mention about the Pentecostal church on Sunday. And when we go to church on Sunday, do not mention. And I would ask, I said, why can't we talk? She goes, oh, they would never understand. So, you know, this went on for some time. And of course, I was a young girl, but when I would sit in these services, they were so similar to me. I mean, the, you know, the routine was different, but the message, when I, as a child, listened to it, I could hear so many similarities. And I think that gave me a spark for what we really could do with this vehicle that we call a body and this wonderful journey that we call life. And that started the engine moving for me. But it was really when I graduated from high school, I had accepted to go to college, and I was studying pharmacy. And my brother, who's 13 months younger than me, gave me a book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. It's a tiny little book. I'm sure most of your listeners know that book. And it was the summer before I left for college. I must have read that book, I kid you not, it was well over 20 times from cover to cover. And I knew that whatever was being done for me internally is what I wanted to do for other people. That book just resonated with me. I had never heard the term inspirational speaker or motivational speaker. I didn't know what it was, but that really was the point that I said, I want to do this. And I didn't know what the this was. So I went on, I studied pharmacy, went to pharmacy school, ended up getting a doctorate degree in pharmacy. But all along through my entire journey, I was 17 when I got introduced to this thought. I started really studying and trying to get my hands on anything that I could get on that sounded sort of like peace. And at the time, Natalie, this is so funny, but I thought what I was looking for, now this is, I was 17 years old, and I'd had this pretty difficult childhood, and I said, I am going to discover how to have a life with no problems. Well, I don't need to tell you that that's not what I discovered, right?
Yeah.
What I did discover is how to navigate life and how to use everything that shows up in your life. Even those things that we call problems, which, you know, we live a little bit longer and we realize those are just lessons. But I discovered how to use everything that shows up in my life to help me get to my next level of greatness. And I just became passionate about talking to anybody who would listen about, hey, this is what you can do with that. And one thing led to another. And I was a consultant doing lectures, and I finally got brave enough one year. I said, I'm going to start incorporating a piece, just about peace, everyday peace, at the end of my lectures. And there were pharmacy lectures, and I was hired by another company to do that. And people really liked it. I got invited out to do a keynote address, and I did those for my company, but they were asking me to come out as me, not representing the company, and they said,
right,
come out and only talk about that peace thing that you do. Don't talk about drug therapy, just talk about peace. And I just thought, okay, this is really helping people the way it helped me, and that was really where I got the kickstart to go, yep, I want to share this with more people. I think that people will really benefit from it.
Did your mother encourage you?
She has all. My mom has been my biggest cheerleader. So,
okay.
So interesting. She encouraged me. My mom always had this dream of education. So education was big for her. So once she did the education piece, she's like, "Well, if that's what you want to do, now you can go do anything else that you want to." But a lot of times I would comfort her, you know, I'd read things and say, okay, Mom, I've learned this. I'd share things with her. And she's like, you know, you really are into this. This is really something that resonates with you. So it's a point of natural giving. And so she was very encouraged that I decided to really go forward with it and make it my true vocation and passion.
See, that's wonderful to hear. My mother was the opposite. And like
really?
I told you earlier, I fell into all of this. Well, I probably was guided. I just didn't know it. But I've heard a lot of stories of how people get started, and I sit and I think to myself, gosh, it wasn't like that for me at all. It wasn't, I didn't have this guidance. I didn't, it's amazing I'm doing what I do. I mean, I'm really intelligent, but I didn't uncover anything until I got to be older. I didn't discover what I really could do until I got older. I mean, I was introduced to computers. I love computers. I have three monitors in front of me, and I love them. I mean, that's my buddy. These are my buddies right here. But, you were inspired from when you were a young girl. That's wonderful. But you know what, Dravon? The people that I've talked to, most of them have had parents that either were well-educated and only one of the children went on to be something really what you would call, I don't say they weren't all great, but successes that you could say, well, he wrote a book, she wrote a book. You know what I'm saying? But the background from most of them, and I could do a study on it, is that I heard they all had intelligent parents like you. Your mother recognized something. What about your father?
Well, and it's so interesting because my story is have loving parents, but maybe my dad died when I was very, very young, but he was not part of our lives. And that created a lot of hardship for us as a family. But my mom, you know, she really tried, and she kept her family together, and that meant so much. It's interesting that even as a young child, I realized how important my mom was, because it was very difficult, but she had three children and she kept us all together. And later on, as I became a mom myself, I realized that is no small feat to do when your heart is broken. And
she was
the
power
of
strength. That's what she was.
Yes, she really.
She was
she
determined
really,
that all of you were going to amount to something, even though you didn't have the golden path in front of you. But she encouraged you, and she loved you. I just feel she's still here. I mean, she's still alive.
Yeah. Yes, my mom.
Okay, well,
still living on the south side of Chicago.
She still has her influence on all of you.
Yeah.
She's just a very, I call her a powerful woman, just a tower of strength. Just, they can do it. They're going to do it. I know they can do it. They're going to all. Now, what about the other kids in the family? Did they turn out to do something spectacular like you? I mean, my goodness.
It's so interesting because you would think, you know, three children, and like I said, we went through several bouts of homelessness. All three went on to get advanced college degrees, and that was really what my mom wanted. She really preached that and said, you know, this will make a huge difference in your life. And, of course, she was right that it did. It opened up my mind, I believe, to the possibilities, you know, of being an out-of-the-box thinker. Of course, you always have that, well, not always, but you know, there's a lot of work, a lot of inner work that has to be done when you've experienced homelessness to get over that fear, to live as big and as large as you should. So that's a beautiful uncovering, I think, to realize, yes, you know, you can live a life of adventure and it still be good. I think when you've been homeless, you're always looking for security.
True. And that's what's been wonderful about what I do with people like you, is I get to listen to these success stories and promote you and bring you out. That, you know, I mean, I'm going to be interviewing with you, and it's just mundane. I mean, really, well, we'll be laughing probably more than anything else, but I just fell into it, and I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but if you think about it, somebody would argue with me and say, no, you were guided, but you have to remember I'm older than you, so my parents were not, and I didn't come from, it was tough, but I wasn't homeless. I mean, I didn't get, I was an only child, but I didn't get much. I really didn't. Everybody thought I was spoiled, but oh, little did they know. No, my mother did not spoil me. But anyways, I think your mom is still an influence and she's still guiding you. And I bet you if you go to her and say, Mom, what do you think? Or maybe you don't even have to do that. She's going to tell you. She's going to know. She's just very, and she's very spiritual, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes, to this day. To this day, it's so interesting. Now that she doesn't have three little kids to tote around, she just goes to, you know, 100% New Thought Church. But I think when we were little, her thought was that she had been raised in a Pentecostal church, so she knew a lot about the Bible. She had that foundation, and she was ready to expand on her beliefs. And she had a great foundation. She wanted to give us the foundation, and now, you know, her children are all grown. She's got older, almost grown grandchildren. So she's 100% New Thought Church now.
That's great. Well, I was born and raised a Catholic, so but you see, a different time, a different era. And I had to have all the sacraments. It was really important to my mother, because she never had them. So she wanted to make sure, it was just a lonely road for me. It was not, my childhood was not that great. You probably had a better one, even though you were homeless sometimes. It was not like everybody says, oh, you were an only child, you were so lucky. No, I was not. I'm not your typical only child. But look what I'm doing today. Look what I'm doing now.
Helping so many. See, anything in our journey, isn't this interesting how life is that even you talk about your childhood, and it resonates with me, the loneliness and
yeah.
You know, but from that, you know, you've gone and made and turned your whole life experience into helping people to feel united, to feel
You're
part
right.
of something. And that's amazing, right?
Right?
So you use that you know, you knowing the depths of loneliness and saying, okay, well, I'm not willing to leave one person that's in my presence feeling that. So I think that's beautiful.
Well, thanks. I didn't even miss a beat with it, though. You know, when you're really little and young, and you go off and you do your things, and it was just my way of life. And if I could have looked ahead and said, oh, you're going to have a radio show, oh, you're going to have three websites, I would have thought, and, you know, of course, the computers didn't come out. I guess it was somewhere in the early 70s. I think I had my first computer, but I didn't even know what the Internet was. And, of course, it's not like it is today, but nonetheless. So now tell me about your platform that you have. Is it actually a place where people can go? Explain about that.
Right, so what I do is I coach people. Primarily, I started off doing, as I mentioned, keynote speaking, and that's really what I have been doing, keynote speaking and workshops. And the platform is, you know, everyday peace. Peace, the definition that I use for peace is wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. And the foundational principle is that everything, absolutely everything, the good, the bad, and those things that are in between, everything that shows up in your life can be used as a stepping stone as
mm-hmm.
you create, consciously create your next level of greatness. So I teach that and how to reach your next level of greatness in careers, in your home life, with your health. So that was really what I do as far as keynote speaking. And then I became a life coach, and I work with individuals and helping them to get to their next level of greatness using the everyday peace model and understanding that, you know, life is balance. And so I have what I call the big three: health, wealth, and relationships. And that's what I coach on.
And now you have a book out. I know it's called Freedom is Your Birthright. And that's important. You know, that's so important. Because everybody deserves freedom, yeah, you know? And I don't know if you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. the fact remains is that everybody has a right to have wonderful things, to have their dreams come true, not to be smoldered, smothered. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. Now, your book, tell us a little bit about your book, Freedom is Your Birthright. I love that.
Yeah, Freedom is Your Birthright is my first book in a five-part series called the Stepping Stone Series. And I started with this book because I truly believe, and it sounds like you believe the same thing, that our life is limitless. It really doesn't matter what our start was necessarily if we decide to condition our inside and start to live our external journey with the starting point being inside of us. So I started with Freedom is Your Birthright because I wanted people to understand that you and I, everyone, is absolutely free indeed, internally. I think I read this, I can't remember who it was, but it was a Jewish Holocaust survivor, and he was saying how when he was in the concentration camps that he decided, this was his decision, that he was not in control of what was going to happen to his body, but he was in control of what his thoughts were going to be and how he was not going to be bitter, and he decided not to become that person. We all are free to make that decision about everything. So the first book was just really getting us in place to realize that we have some freedoms that exist that we need to consciously harness and take control and dominion and be disciplined in these areas. When we do that, when we experience that freedom, now we can start working on these other things. But until we honestly look at our life and say that I am where I am, I have what I have based on the fact that I've decided to relinquish my freedom, which means to turn my will over to somebody else and let them determine, or I am here because I decided to take responsibility for not exactly everything that's shown in my life, but how I respond to everything that's shown in my life.
And that's true, because it was just the other day, I talk to God every day. Poor thing. Yes, you hear me every day. I said, you know what? I am what I am. I am what I am. I am thankful every day, of course. I mean, I almost died in 1982. I've had some near things happened to me that I probably should have survived, but I am so grateful. And sometimes I will say, and I don't know if you ever do this, I still don't know what it is I'm supposed to do, except that I always say, you give me the tools, I'll do them. I can do anything. Just give me the tools. And it's true. The only thing I can't do, and I've said this on the air, is swim and skate. I can't do those things. It's a balance thing. I don't know why. I think I could, I want to fly a plane, believe it or not. can you imagine? Can you imagine little Natalie up in a plane flying? But things like that. I mean, that's a dream. My son wants to fly, too. I said, oh, good, you can be my co-pilot.
I love it.
I said to him, don't you think I could do it? He says, Mom, you could do anything. You see, and even my granddaughter tells me that. She calls me Grambo. Like Rambo? Grambo.
I love it. Like Rambo, Grambo.
Grambo. And I said, why do you call me? She says, because you can do anything. You can do anything. She's going to spend the day with me on Saturday. I'm going to ask her, why do you think I can do anything? Well, she's spiritual like we are. She's very spiritual. But anyways, now, when you were young, I mean, did you totally believe in God?
I did. It's so interesting because, gosh, I think I didn't have anything else to believe in. And
that was like
I had to believe that we were going to be okay, that there was more than suffering from this. We were meant for more than just to suffer. When you're a kid, and it was so funny because I can remember, I still have the Bible in my studio from when I first got baptized, and it was at my great uncle's church, And I remember being a little kid and following him around the church and asking him, now tell me again, who is God's mother? That was so big to me, you know, because it's God always was. I said, well, you know, no, I have a mom, and I need to know who his mom was.
Right, so, yes.
So this was the relationship with the higher power is so much of who I am. And I say that because I was fortunate enough to have the kind of mother that I studied equally in the Pentecostal traditional church and in New Thought church, so that I am very comfortable with all terminology. I realize that we're all talking about the same thing, whether we're using different words. Sometimes the words separate us, but they shouldn't. But they do. That's what they do sometimes. But so for me, you know, God, universal power, the source, it's all, it really resonates with me in the same place in my heart.
You know, I think because I was alone, in comparison, I knew there was something around me all the time. Just because I was able to function all by myself and didn't miss a beat. And I probably didn't realize that until I got a little older. And then, you know, my co-host that I had, she brought that up to me. She said, you just didn't know it. But she said, you can bet you had guidance. You had something around you all the time. I mean, I was a great kid. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong ever. I mean, I was just really a good girl, and, you know, just I was by myself. I would read. I'd listen to music. I had girlfriends, but sometimes they wouldn't come and get me, probably because I was smarter than them and they didn't want to be around me. I don't know. I didn't let people know what I knew. However, I was a force in the neighborhood. I really was. Listen to this. You're going to laugh because you're from Chicago. I wasn't very big. I'm still not very big, but, I mean, I was even smaller. And we had, everybody was about the same age in the neighborhood. There were quite a few blocks of us, of kids at that time, that were all growing up. We're all growing up at the same time. Well, you know, sometimes kids, like boys, will get a little rough. Well, I set the tone in the neighborhood by punching a kid in the face, a boy, who threw a rock at me.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you, Drifon, listen to this. I tore after, we'll say this on your show too, but I tore after him on my bike. He slid on the rocks and fell over off of his bike, and I grabbed him and I hit him in the face. And he said, what did you do that before? I said, because I want you to go back and tell all your little friends that there will be no fighting in this neighborhood, or they will have to deal with me. And he was bigger than me. But I knew inside, if I set the tone, as I say, and nobody ever fought in the neighborhood. It was perfect. And my girlfriends didn't even know. They were too girly.
Wow.
I wasn't a tomboy, but, they would never have done that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Wow.
So
wow.
You see
wow.
What happens with my life and your life, and it's strange, though. See, it didn't stop us. It didn't stop either one of us.
No,
to go
no.
Continue on our path. I read a lot, but I wasn't really guided by anybody. Yeah, you know, it was the time. It was the era that I was born in. And that kind of thing. But I think you're right. And everybody deserves freedom. Everybody, every little kid, I heard something today that I thought was so sweet. Every little child that wakes up can have their dreams. They can be and do anything that they want.
Yes.
They can't let anybody stop them. They really can't. And, you know, I don't know that I had any dreams of being anything. I don't think so. Sounds like you did, though, right?
Well, you know, I had a dream. I would say that my mom's dream was for me to become a medical doctor. My dream, actually, was to become an actress, and that was what
I want to add to the
yes.
show.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was my dream. Is I wanted to be an actress, and I wanted to study theater. Of course, I didn't get to do that, but I do act, and, you know, I'm a SAG-AFTRA actress, and been on a few things, and so that was my dream. I think what happened for me, though, is I opened up to this peace journey because it resonated with what I needed at the time, and and it continued to evolve with me. You know, as I went through different seasons of my life, I would still be studying, you know, peace, and I realized this is what I need to fulfill whatever purpose, you know, that I'm supposed to be. The business of Drayvon while she's here on planet Earth. And so I like how you say you kind of like fell into it, because when I look at it, it was no plan necessarily. You know, when I never thought about it that way, but as I listened to you talk, there was no plan necessarily. It was just something that really resonated with me that I just start talking to other people about. And it sort of evolved from there.
Right. Well, that's sometimes what happens. I just believe there's always divine order, divine intervention, and sometimes when you're young, we're talking about people that are young, they get off on something, and maybe they're really not on the path yet that they're supposed to be on, but I always think that something is going to throw them onto that path. Sometimes it's pretty tough. Sometimes it's,
yeah,
you know, they have to accept something. And then there are those who don't want to do it at all, and then they go off. You either go left, you go right, you go down straight down the road. But sometimes you can fall, you know, in a rut. You fall off the road.
Yeah.
But I just think that if your life is to be a certain way, something or someone, however you believe, is going to put you back on that road somehow, some way, somewhere, and sometime.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had no clue. You had more of a clue of what you wanted to do, and that's so refreshing. And it really probably resonates with a lot of people that are listening and that will be listening, because it's just about, you know, I really didn't have any dreams, but you did. You see, you did. You wanted to aspire to do peace, to light the way. That's what you do. You light the way.
Yeah.
Me, mine is just totally opposite. I kind of fumbled and floundered, I guess. I don't know.
But ended up lighting the way.
Yes. I mean, I have a lot of people that work for me. I know people all over the world because of this radio that I do, all over. And I never, ever would have thought that I would know so many. You know, it's amazing. It, just like for you, you look back and you say, wow, how did I do that? How did I get from there to there? Sometimes you never really know. You just do. You just are. But you're just so refreshing because you had this dream. And your mother had a dream for you, and she related to you. Now, pharmacy, did you enjoy that, or did you not want to be a doctor?
Oh.
Is that what happened?
No, you know, it's so interesting. That's another thing you talk about, divine intervention. I was sitting in Latin class in my senior year, and I knew I was going to go to medical school because my mom told me I was. I was just that kind of kid, but I hadn't really done anything about it. And my counselor sent these people up to get me out of class and come down to meet with the people from the college, from pharmacy school. And as they were talking, I was sitting there saying to myself, well, I'll do it for a little while, but this is not really where I'm going to be. Now, I've been a pharmacist for 30 years, but it was not my passion. But I was, you know, fairly good math and science student, and I thought, well, pharmacy is not as long to be a pharmacist as it's going to be to be a doctor, and so I'll just do that. And so that's how I kind of got there. I've always had a passion for helping people, and I think that's how I got into the pharmacy. One day showed up, and I went to the little college seminar, and I thought, this is interesting. And it was a shorter time to become that than to become a medical doctor. And it had the one factor that was important to me, is that I felt like I would be helping people to feel better. Before I went to pharmacy school, the summer before I went, I knew that that was not what I was meant to do. But I had made this commitment. I knew that whatever Norman Vincent Peale did for me is what I wanted to do for people. I didn't know how that was going to shake out in my life, but I knew when I read that book, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be this person that some kind of way helps people to go within to find themselves and to find their peace and their journey in this life. And at that same time, I had a burning passion since the third grade to be an actress. And I had done a community theater that had been reviewed, and I got great reviews. The play didn't get great reviews, but my mom said to me, absolutely not. I said, I want to study theater. I think I'm going to be great at this. And she said, no, you're not going to do that. So,
yeah, you know, she didn't want to put you out there. She was afraid of the path that would take you on, and I think she was looking beyond the trees there. She was looking to see, and she did not want that for her little girl. Mm-mm. No.
Yeah. And
she knew you were made of good stuff. She knew you had.
Yeah.
Now, so you were on something called The Wire, right? That was HBO you were on?
HBO's Wire. There won a lot of awards. It was a pretty big show. I was on there for 3 seasons, and then I've done a lot of theater, and some commercial work, some independent films. So I do. Like I act. I was in a show right before COVID hit, to a theatrical production, and that had to be suspended because of COVID. So I do a fair amount of acting. It is my hope, dream, aspiration, my intention to transition my life to serve in the way of everyday peace and acting. So
I don't see why you won't succeed. I don't see it at all. You're like your own driving force. You've got it all in you, all of it. You really do. I like to be behind the scenes. You like to be in front. I have always been like that. To me, I can talk on the radio. I can do that really pretty easily. But to be in front of somebody, oh, my God, I'd probably be so petrified.
I think you'd be great. You may be petrified, but you'd be great.
Well, I have had a motivational speaker on 3 times, but he laughs at me and he says, Natalie, I could pull you on the stage. You might be a little shaky, a little nervous, but once I get you talking, you'll probably never shut up. Maybe.
You'd be given such great information and valuable information, the audience wouldn't want you to shut up. So you'd be able to hold your own, I could tell, because the work that you're doing is so inspiring and so necessary. I think that's what.
Thank you. I mean, see, when I hear from people like yourself, who I regard you as being pretty special and successful, and when I hear it from somebody like that, you know, I'm not that kind that I can say, oh, yeah, you're wonderful, look in the mirror, oh, Natalie, you've done this and this and this. I'm not like that. You know, I'm not an introvert. I can be shy, though. Don't say I can't be, but I can be. But then again, you get me talking about something that I believe in and interacting with somebody like you, I can hold my own. You're right. I can.
Yeah.
But I would not seek out any kind of radio shows are easy. I can do those. Those are simple because I've done them for so many years now. You know, I think it's our 9th year on the radio, on this radio show that we did topics before, and then I started to do interviews. But, in the beginning, though, Dravon, it was awful. I mean, I was so nervous. And, oh, you can do this. I hear that all my life. You can do this. You can do this. You'd think I'd be telling myself that you can do this. But see, you have been especially guided into things. And this ability that you have, you want to bring peace. You want to bring freedom. And the book that you read, you know, Peel's book, it's just so amazing. Tell me something about how you started doing your own radio show, your Unity Radio.
Yeah, so that's another thing. You're talking about things falling into
See, that's another thing. She says, I'm out of breath. I have to mention all these things.
Well, I was doing keynote speaking, And I got introduced to Unity Radio because I had been going to the church here and there, but they're not affiliated that way. But I had been going to the church in Baltimore where I live, and I actually met someone in California, hundreds of miles away, right, who said, "Hey, I've seen some of your work. I know that they're starting up some new channels on the new talk shows on the Unity. Would you be interested in talking to someone?" And they called me and they read some of the things I had written. And it's been over a year. It kind of like fell into my lap. And at first, I'll be honest with you, I thought, I don't want to do a radio program. I don't know enough people. I was so nervous about where you're going to get guests from. I don't do enough social events where I would meet interesting people. Well, I got to tell you that was just so untrue. Once I committed to it, just like with anything in life, right? Once you say you're going to do it, you make the decision. The universe turns on its head to make that thing
I'm
possible.
Oh, yeah. I'm booked through December.
Yeah.
I'm booking in January. I don't know where they're coming from. And what it is, it's not me soliciting them, Gravon. It is every publicist. I know so many of them. Every one of them just, you know, like Amanda, you know, she's one. And then I've got another one, and then another one, and I've got a couple of guys. And, how about interviewing this one? I mean, there's very few I turn down. But I think that's something that I'm supposed to be doing. Somebody said I'm a felicitator, and I am. I like to promote all of you. I like talking to you. I want everybody to know how beautiful you are. I want them to know that there are a lot of people like you out there. Not these people that are protesting and all of that. There are people in the world who have a hold on their life. They're not reacting. They're just doing beautiful things, and that's one of the reasons why I keep doing this, because I love it.
Yeah.
I really do. I love it. I mean, I really do.
And it's providing such a service, one, for the person who you're putting out there, right, but also for the listening audience to get exposed to a diverse group of whatever. And
that's right.
There's always one person. We were talking before we came on the show, and I was telling you that I used to be what they call a talk show junkie, right? I would just listen to talk shows, and I would get so much information, useful information from my life. And it's amazing how talk shows influence the lives of their listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to serve.
Well, it is. And, you know, when I stopped doing them because my co-host passed away suddenly and I was devastated, I couldn't do anything for 3 months. But somebody who worked for me on one of my sites says, you know, I bet you everybody's missing your voice. And I said, what do you mean missing my voice? I think you need to do this. Well, he interviewed me on my show the first time. We changed the day. It was real difficult. This gal was like she was like my sister, and I was so close to her. We did so many shows together, and it just took me all that time to get a hold. But you know, after I did that first show, tell you the truth, I don't know how I got anybody else to come on. He got me a lot of people. He knew a lot of people, a lot of people in the arts, in the entertainment, and all of that. So he brought quite a few in, and then but you know what? Pretty soon, I had publicists say, I would really like you to interview this gal or this guy. I think you would be good with them on the show. Well, one thing led to another. And like I said, I do only one a week. Not that I can't do more, but, I mean, there are certain times in the month I do my magazine. That takes me 3 days. So I have to, you know, I don't want to be totally every day. I probably wouldn't have a voice, and that would be awful for me not to talk. But I think, I just sit back and I get all these emails. And once you make a connection, though, like with your Amanda and my Sarah and my TJ, and I know so many of them, Gavin, who's at another publishing house, he sends me everybody. And, and I'll sit back and I'll think, look, they want to talk to me. I'm so honored because all of them are famous like you. You're famous. You've done a lot. I wouldn't say I'm famous. I would say in my field of what running sites, I'm really good at it. But I don't care that I'm not famous. I want people to know you. That's why I'm here. And that makes me feel so good.
It should, because not only do you help me get my message out, but like I keep going back to these listeners that are so, they come, I speak for myself, come with such a desire when I listen to talk radio to learn, and I walk away with some gem or something that is poured into
right.
me, and my life has changed. So it's a beautiful, it's a wonderful way to give back. So even if you fail into it, Natalie, I see a guidance, like you are being led to this.
I'm so comfortable with it, you know. I can't see myself not doing them. I just love it. I'm it's easy to talk to people. I've always been like that, not as a little girl because I was kind of shy, except when I had to punch the kid in the face. But I was basically shy. So, you know, somebody knew me then and know me now, I think, oh, my God, what did she transform into? You know, but it's true. Yeah, it's true. And everybody that comes on has written a book. I have not written a book. I have a book in my head. I always tell everybody I do. It's kind of a fairy tale, but it would be more like for somebody like my granddaughter's age. She's 16. It would be powerful for them. You're going to know how I end my show, and you're going to love it. But I just believe. That's all that I know. And I believe all of this is going to not go away. It's not going to disappear, what's going on now with this pandemic. But we will get through it. I don't like the fact that hurts me that people have died. I hate that. I'm an empath, so you see, it bothers me a lot. So
yeah.
I have to watch what I watch on TV. It's terrible. I mean, you know, I do a lot of meditation and all that, but when I have somebody like you, an inspiration, and people that might not be listening to tonight to the show, they come back because it's recorded. They can go on the show page and listen to it again and again. And I look at it, and I'm amazed. I mean, from Germany to Italy, all kinds of people listen, and that makes me feel good. That makes me feel really, really good. I don't need to know who they are. Doesn't matter. I just know that we're getting you out there to the world to show what you can do. And what a great gal you are. You really, really are. Are your daughters like you? Let's talk about your family a little bit. Are they like you?
Well, I have one daughter who's 20 and one son who's 17. And
oh, a son, okay.
Tell me that people tell me that she is a lot like me. So I said, I don't know when I've ever been that energetic, but we do share a lot of commonalities in our personalities. And I don't know a lot about astrology, but she is a Gemini. So,
Oh my gosh, I do. That's how I got started. She has multiple personalities. The way she is around you, and the way she is with you're gonna laugh. And the way she is around friends is two different things. My best friend was a Gemini. You know, I saw her one time with a group of people, and I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, who is this? This is supposed to be my best friend. I don't even know who she is. I'm listening to her, and she's off flitting around, and she's totally different with me. And then she's the one that got me into astrology. That's how I got started on the Internet. Well, and I don't want to divulge too much because we'll talk on your show, but that's what a Gemini is in their Mercury rule. They love to talk. They love to think. They should love to read. Most of them do, but they're thinkers.
Yeah.
They're not like the Virgo. They're thinkers. They're communicators. I mean, they will pick at you until they find something out. They want to know the details. I want to know. Well, why did this happen? Where did you go? What did you do?
Yes.
That's
you
how they are. That's how they are.
So that part of our personality, maybe it's me, but it's more pronounced, right? So I think,
are you a Gemini too?
No, I'm a Cancer.
And, my granddaughter's a Cancer. I know them too. You're sensitive. Sometimes you crawl in a shell. You get your feelings hurt, but a lot of times you don't tell anybody. It's all within. She's like that, and you can brood. B-R-O-O-D.
Yes.
Brood.
Yes.
And it'll say, well, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Nothing. But there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And if I saw you like that, I'd pick at you until you told me, because I'm a Sagittarius.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. And I don't know zodiac signs. You know, and I didn't pay a lot of attention to it in my youth. But now as I'm getting older and I'm reading more about different various things, there's something to this lunar, or the song.
Oh, lunar? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the moon affects you greatly. It does.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because you're a Cancer. Now, you know, like, do you get quiet a lot of times?
Well, you know, I do. Most of the time, you're talking about being an introvert and extrovert. I tell people that I'm an introvert who functions very well as an extrovert.
See, that's how my granddaughter is. She'll get real quiet.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's real wordsy. Sometimes. You got to get her on the right day. Sometimes she's not. Sometimes you'll say, well, how was your day? Fine. You know,
right.
But I know her. I know what she is. You know, I know.
Right.
And, but oh yeah, I know the signs very well. I mean, I made a living at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
So,
if you have studied it long enough, Dervon, you know, because you've known enough people in your life, I know what you are. I know what you are, and I know what you are. And it's true. It's really, really true. But it doesn't surprise me, Cancer. You're very warm. You're very caring. But you're caring to a – I mean, you go sometimes too much. You have to be careful that you don't fall into this deep – yes. And then you start to pick – and you're an empath. And you pick up what everybody else is feeling, like maybe a girlfriend or something, or your daughter or your son, and you – and you got to walk away, because you'll be walking around with their problems. I mean, kids are different. I mean, you want the best for them and you care. But just friends I'm talking about are relatives. And, yeah, you have to be careful. But, you see, it kind of doesn't really surprise me, because look how caring you are. They are very caring. They are very understanding. And that's what you are.
Yes. So my daughter and I asked if we have the same personality. So I think we complement each other very nicely, you know, so we complement each other. And same thing with my son. I think that my son is a Capricorn, I believe. He's in December.
Okay. He's an old soul, I have to tell you.
Yes.
He's an old soul, and he never gives up. He never gives up. When he gets older, he's gonna see something that he's not really getting right away, or he's not successful, but you think he's going to give up? No. No, no. He won't. Think of the little goat that's climbing up the mountain. He is going to get to the top of that mountain by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He's a Capricorn. Steady as they come.
I think our personalities and our traits sort of complement each other, and that's a beautiful thing too. I think one of the things about parenting in this time and age, especially during COVID, is that time together before the COVID hit. But now that COVID is here, you know, people, they're home more, and we interact more, and I can see more of myself in them. I say, oh gosh, I'm praying for you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, you know, you're a water sign. She is an air sign, and he's an earth. So you've got quite a blend going on there. But you are the you're the understanding one. Now you got to remember, he likes knowledge. He may, even if he says he doesn't, he does. When he gets older, you're going to see. He's going to see.
Yeah.
And he's very. Is he serious?
Yes, he is, and he likes knowledge. If you want to have any type of discussion with him, please bring your facts.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, my ascendant is in Capricorn, but and my moon is in Leo. But the nice thing is that they don't ever give up. And I can remember this really, because I've had a lot of jobs, and so I can remember I'd show somebody how to do something, and they'd be floundering around, and I'd be walking back from them, and I'm thinking, you know, I should just take over and show them how to do. That's how they are. They don't take over in a negative way, but they would rather show you because that's what you're going to see how to do it. But they take responsibility a lot. They can take a lot. They really can. I know because that's what I've always done all my life is responsibility. But if you would have seen me as a little girl, we would have laughed. Oh, my God, look at her. Never know I'd be doing anything, really. I mean, you know, but okay, so your show. Now, how often do you have your radio show?
So my radio program is every Monday. It's a live 1 hour program, and we get call-ins, and it's really a fun time of gathering.
Oh, good.
The show
is called
Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James. And what I seek to do is to bring on people like yourself. I can't wait to have you on there who are doing something that is adding value, a service to the world that the listeners can get something for their own journey, get encouraged by, or there's a service they can participate in. I mean, you have a thousand things. You got your magazine and your program, and you're doing amazing stuff for people. And so I try to bridge that gap for somebody who's looking for something and someone who has united front would be that together, it's a win-win situation, and we're
right.
all learning how to promote peace, which wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken.
And show success. And success can be measured a lot of different ways. It doesn't mean money. You can be successful just with yourself, just because you're you. Like, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean money. Now, are you still a pharmacist?
I am. I still am. I practice every day. Well, I don't do patient care anymore. I work in administration, run a small hospital pharmacy, but every day, yes, Monday through Friday.
Oh, bless you. Bless you.
So it's a busy life, but, you know, I enjoy all parts. I have, you know, try to have balance in my life. But you know how you can feel your world sort of evolving? And what I feel this season of my life is that I have served as a pharmacist for 30 years, and it has been a beautiful journey, and I enjoy it. But I see more of my life and more of my passion is with everyday peace and helping people to understand how powerful they are.
Now, what about your husband? We haven't even brought him into this.
Oh, yeah, he's still around.
What does he do?
He works for organizations. He works like a lobbyist, and they work with health care issues and end
of
life.
Oh, awesome. Oh, no, I know a lobbyist. They're wonderful. Oh, yes.
Yeah. He's not a lobbyist, but their company does a lot with end of life, and so they travel. Well, they used to travel a lot before COVID, but now they've become wise in doing a lot of things via the Zoom and the Skype and all that. But they work with different agencies to try to get them to consider different end of life options for patients.
Oh, how wonderful! He's of service too. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what sign is he?
Yeah. Leo.
Mr. Proud Man. He wears his heart on his sleeve.
Oh.
<Yep. laughs> Oh, he loves you a lot. He loves you a lot. Yes. And sometimes it's not always perfect. I mean, life can be like that. But you have two beautiful children. You have your radio show. You wrote a book, and it's in a series. There's five coming up. You're going to do four more?
Yes, I am. And just being with you in this space right now, I'm thinking to myself, I started on the second book, which is about forgiveness. And as life, you know, things happen, I'm not as far along with that book as I would have liked to be at this point. But I really, the second book is forgiveness. And these books are tiny books. You could read them in, I don't know, a couple of hours. And I like that because I really want people to read the book from cover to cover, not a huge book, and you get halfway through it or maybe one quarter of the way and something distracts
you. And you put
attention.
It down and you don't pick it up for a long time.
Right. I want people to go from cover to cover and say, oh, my goodness, I got this, I can use that, and then utilize the book as a reference. to understand, okay, you know, in the first book I talk about, you know, the power of our words and making sure that we are using our words to bless our lives and to bless the lives of others. And it really takes, it takes practice to do that, because we're so accustomed to hearing people say, oh, I'm so tired, or I hate my life, or, you know,
yeah,
and
I can't do that. I'm not good enough. Yeah.
I used to tell my kids when they were younger, every time you say I can't, it sounds like I certainly am not trying.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Well, I want to give your website out. It's Dr. Dravon, D-R-D-R-A-V-O-N, James, J-A-M-E-S.com. And she's got her services, and her book is there, and all her media that she's done, and about me. And, oh, gosh, I can't wait to talk to you again. Just think we get to do this again.
It'll just be a matter of weeks, and we'll be again together again, Natalie. And I got to just say that your show, the work that you're doing, not just your show, your magazine, everything, it's really, I can't say enough of how you, you say you stumbled into this, but I know you were guided here. And every aspect of your life was to help you to embrace this part of your life.
Well, right, and it is. It makes me feel good. You know, it really, really does. I mean, I really love it, and I love meeting new people. And like I said, we get to do this again on August 24th. Aren't we lucky?
Yep.
It's like it'll
yes,
be like two
are.
Girlfriends again. I'll say, hey, hi,
yes.
How are you doing?
It'll be
you're
from
Chicago,
okay,
and I'm from
coffee.
Detroit. Now, we have
sure.
to talk about Chicago. What was Chicago like for you? I mean, was it rough?
It was rough because, again, like I said, you know, having having the financial situation that we had, it was, you know, I'm always reminded of Charles Dickens, the Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Right.
Yeah.
And that is kind of how it was. So I loved it because it was my family and we were there. But then times are really, really hard. But in that hardness, just goes to show you how you can use anything. We pulled together, and it created a bond that I'm so grateful for. That I'm so.
I was not in.
For.
I wasn't in the inner city. But I went to beauty school downtown, right off of Woodward. I walked. I took my two buses. I did it all by myself, and that's why I want people to understand something. Don't judge everybody by what you read or you see on television. It's not all like that. I survived. We had riots.
Oh, yeah.
I survived.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, and we'll do this on your show. I really shouldn't be talking so much about it, but I feel you can relate to it. Ended up working at a Northwest YWCA, and Dravon, they were all black, and I fell into
mm-hmm.
that. But
mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell everybody this, and I probably said it before. That's why I say don't judge people until you get to know them. I was there. I was this little white girl all by myself, and I had a man there that he really liked me. He helped me with tennis. It was a tennis club. And I got to know a lot of the members there, a lot of them. Some of them were doctors. Some of them worked at General Motors, Ford. Some of them, I met some famous basketball players, and because that's where they would go. But you know what? I always ended the Sunday night shift. I was the last one, okay? Well, the guys, there was four of them now. They, are you ready to go? Yeah, I'm ready to go. Okay, shut the lights off. Let's go. And I said, what do you mean, let's go? Where are we going? First time they did that, I was afraid. And I said, where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy, we're walking you to your car. It was out, you know, because everybody was in the parking lot, and I was further out, so
mm-hmm.
I had a little ways to go, and it was dark. I said, you don't have to walk me to my
yeah.
car. Yes, we have to walk you to the car. I said, all four of you? Yes, all four of us. They would walk me to my car, make sure I opened the door, make sure I started the car, and make sure I took off before they left me. That is no joke.
Yeah, and you know what? The light, and I'm so glad you shared that, because life is full of beautiful surprises if we open
that's right.
our hearts up
and
to
beautiful
them.
People.
Yeah.
Beautiful
mm-hmm.
people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I made the best of friends. I mean, they were wonderful. But you see, I wasn't afraid because I was the one who went downtown Detroit to beauty school by myself. You see, so I didn't have that fear. And sometimes if you go, I mean, you know, you gotta look at the person. I was just this friendly girl. I mean, I wasn't super friendly, but I mean, I was reserved. You know, I watched everything I did, but I fell into that too. I fell into that one too.
Wow.
By taking a class, and somebody said I should work there. And the reason was because it opened other doors, because then I went to a really big club after that. And you know what I'm saying? So if I look back on my life, I guess we kind of all fall into something, don't we, Dravon? We're all kind of, it's really not falling. You get guided.
We're guided, but falling or guided either way. And here's the thing. This is the beautiful thing. What I'm hearing from you is that you all, even though you're guided this way, you always have a choice. And this freedom is that you chose to leave your heart open. And when we make that choice to say, okay, I'm going to leave my heart open, your heart can handle it. But sometimes things happen and we say, okay, I'm going to close myself off and I'm going to be this person who's not going to engage. Or that is not the most productive way to approach life, because if you have your heart open, my goodness, you're going to find some amazing people and some amazing, you're going to find out some amazing things about yourself. And that's
I have not regretted any of it. I have not. I had the greatest of experiences. I was treated like a little princess. Somebody said, a queen. I was treated like a princess. That is no joke.
Yeah.
They loved me. There was this lady there, a heavyset lady that played. Her name was Florence. I'll never forget her. And she just loved me. She'd come in and hug me. She called me baby. How's my baby today? I said, Florence, I'm not your baby. Well, I'm going to call you that. She was a short lady, and she taught tennis, and she was just the sweetest lady. But you see, I was open to all of that, and I believe God wanted me to experience every avenue like that, because then I would never be afraid, and I was never afraid.
And now you can help people from all walks of life, as my mom would
That's
say.
Right.
Once you open your heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From all walks of life.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Our great work here is service, right? And we can't do it until we agree to open our heart.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to be on your show. It's going
to
be so much fun because we know each other.
Yeah. And it'll be like a reunion. And it'll only be, what, 2 weeks from now?
Yeah. It's the 24th. Exactly. And I'm so excited, but I'm so honored that you wanted to come on the show. And somebody else wanted you on the show, and I said, well, I'm sorry, I've already got her, you know. Oh, I love doing that. Oh, I'm sorry, I already have her booked. It was so much fun. She wrote me back, she says, you do? I said, sure thing, I do. Yep. Next.
And I'm so glad talking to an old friend.
Well, yeah, there was a gal, she was in the UK, and we still email each other, and she said to me, it's like two friends having tea, we've known each other for years. I said, that's what it is. It's a talk. It's not an interview. I don't sit there and say, well, now tell me, Dravon, why did you do this, and why did you, I could never do something like that. It's got to have a little bit of light to it. It's got to be fun. I want you to feel comfy, and look, the divine decided to hook us up again.
Yeah, and you are the perfect host, because you're very disarming and very just open.
Oh, yeah, and that's a great compliment to me, because that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. Before we go, I want to thank my Candy. She's in the chat room. She did the video for you, and eventually she'll do the audio video, and it'll be on my YouTube channel. And she's the one that does all the marketing, and I always like to thank her because she does it. And I will see you on the 24th. And before I go, I want you to hear what I say to everybody. There's a lady that's listening that listens to every one of my shows, and she's probably been smiling through this whole thing. I told you you can do it. I told you, you know. But anyways, I always end the show the same way, and I'm going to do it tonight. And I want to make sure everybody is safe. Please be safe. I mean, that's so important to me and Dravon and all the people out there. All of us, we care about you. Everybody cares about each other, even though you think, nah, they don't care. They do care. I care. Dravon cares. Candy cares.
Absolutely.
We all care.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the thing.
Absolutely.
So that's what I want to leave you with. But as I always do in my show, and here it is, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night, Dravon. I love you. I can't wait to talk to you again.
I love you too, Natalie. And we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Right. Bye-bye.
Okay.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show up.